Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to What's Your Next podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on today.
So happy to have you on. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am the author of around close to 70 books. Some of them are series, some of them are standalones. I write fantasy, contemporary, paranormal. I've written young adult, adult, and new adult. I pretty much have written in every genre except for historical and inspirational.
Oh my gosh. And you have just wide variety of books for anyone to get started. So there's a little bit of everything in case. As I was telling you pre-interview, I'm a huge fan of your contemporary work. And there is also, I read some of your fantasy works. As someone who, you have a little bit of everything for any romance reader to give it a try.
Yeah, it's, I think that's like I think my writing mirrors my reading, where I go through these periods of time where I'm only reading historical, even though I don't write it. It's because I'm too lazy to write historical. There's a lot of research involved in that, but also, or reading contemporary or reading paranormal or fantasy. And so I think my reading habits tend to reflect in my writing, where I jump genres a bit. And I think it also helps you from getting burned out in what you're writing.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially writing so many books, you want to keep it fresh. You want to keep it engaging for you as a writer. Like, you're not pumping out the same thing over and over. You get bored, you get burned out. You don't want to, you lose the zest of life to move forward. So I imagine like multiple genres, multiple age groups helps you keep things fresh for you.
Yeah. And J.R. Ward said something once that because she used to write contemporary and then she started writing it again. But she, I think, started off, I could be wrong, writing contemporary, but she was writing contemporary back when the Black Dagger Brotherhood started to take off. And she wrote it underneath a different name. And she said it was like a palate cleanser and I feel like even if you're writing contemporary, you may feel like paranormal is that for you, but it helps, I think, reset. And that's how I used to do it. Back in the day, I would write like a paranormal and then a contemporary, then a paranormal, then a contemporary. I haven't been able to do that recently, but like that kind of helped shift your gears completely from one genre to the next.
Yeah. And I have to say, over the past few years, we have to talk about like fantasy has been like the main driver. You had successful series that readers are like claiming they need more. And so I can imagine there's like it's harder to deviate sometimes from, maybe I need a little break, but I have these series that are requiring more of the time.
Yes, definitely. It's like you want to be able to write obviously what readers want, but at the same time, you have to write what you want to write. Yeah. And sometimes those two things do not add up. Yeah. they don't come together. And I think for me too, it's more of my Wait For You series had done fairly well. I think for me, one of the reasons why I moved away from contemporary for a while was that was during the period of time where I was mostly traditionally published, and I'm still am, but traditional publishers were not wanting romance. They wanted to hide the fact that it was romance. That's what they wanted to do. And it's, look, you can't slap an illustrated cover and then call it a rom-com when it's clearly not. and that's what they wanted. And that's when I took a break from writing it, because I was like, because a lot of my editors were like, you can write funny characters. And I was like, yeah, but I'm not trying to, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not trying to be funny when I'm like one of those people, when I'm not trying to be funny, I'm funny. But if you put me on the stage or in the stage of writing a rom-com, I am not going to be funny at all. That is roughly, I think, my God, that was a while ago too.
Yeah.
That when I was like, I think I just need to take a break from this, because I don't think I could do a rom-com. I know I couldn't do women's fiction. And so, and that was also what they were doing, is relabeling romance as women's fiction.
Yeah.
And those are two vastly different genres. I just always kept picturing people who thought they were getting a woman's fiction picking up. Now, Christina Lauren has not, as their books used to be a lot more spicier, I think, but all I kept picturing is like somebody picking up something like Beautiful Bastard and being like, oh my God. But yeah, so it's, that was about roughly the time. Wow. I haven't even thought about that.
It's so long. It's so much has changed. And so much has stayed the same. Cause as you mentioned, yeah. Oh, it's still the same. But I think I love that you took a risk from Blood and Ash to write what you wanted to write. That's a big, it was a big gamble that paid off, but it's a gamble saying, but just going to write what I want to write. Trust the process in that sense. So
yeah, and sometimes it doesn't work out. Like it doesn't work out, but I've learned the hard way is I'd rather have it not work out. Like when I wrote From Blood and Ash, I was like, I had the same feeling with Wait for You, where I was like, this is either going to be amazing or this is going to be really bad. There is going to be no in between in this, like where you just have that feeling. There's going to be polar opposites. And I'd rather have it not work out than force myself to write something that I don't want to, because that can really mess you up long-term. It's if you had to repeatedly force yourself to finish a book you weren't enjoying, and then you did it again and again, you're going to probably lose the love of reading. And I think, unfortunately, that's what we've done to, I feel like in a lot of our cases, it was done to us growing up with the reading material, where we had to read things half the time that you couldn't really even understand, because it would be like written in a style that teenagers typically don't even see anymore. And it ended up kills the love of reading, because you would have preteens who were really into reading, right? Like the Diary of the Wimpy Kids, things like that. And then they get to high school and then all suddenly they're having to read stuff that they're just not interested in. And so it's the same with writing. You end up hitting yourself in the foot that way.
And it's a problem. It's a problem for, if you find it as with something as an escape or something that brings you creative joy, it brings you like a sense of self. And then you find yourself in a corner in a basically repeating the same formula over and over. You burn yourself out. You stop doing it. You stop creating something. You stop being willing to do the work.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes. And so sometimes we have to take those gambles, whether they fail, it's not really a failure. It's just like you did it, you move forward, you learn the lesson, and you can just do something else. You get permission. But I think allowing the idea to take that, follow your intuition to where you want to go next, as opposed to what society or what the publisher, what other people, the Greek chorus is telling you to do.
Yeah. Agreed. Sometimes you just have to do it. Do what you want.
Do what you want. All right, we got to talk about The Fall of Ruin and Wrath. And speaking of intuition, that's the superpower. I was like, oh my gosh, that's a superpower.
Yeah, and honestly, it was like, I was trying to think, with this book, something very different happened with this book. Normally, the character in the plot comes to me first, and then I build, the world itself came to me first. And then I started to create the characters within it. And I knew I wanted Liz to not be physically a badass, because I've written that a lot. And I've also written characters who aren't, but I've been writing like Poppy and Sierra for the last couple of years. And I was like, which I think they are relatable in their own ways. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if you handed me like a dagger or a sword, I would be like, okay, what am I supposed to do with this? I'm going to be the person who just turns and walks away from the situation. I don't have time for this. Like, this is like, what's going on? And so I wanted to make sure I wrote somebody who didn't have that. And when I was thinking, I think intuition is not something we all have. And I think all of us at some point have been in a situation or been somewhere or did something where you suddenly get that gut check, where it's like this, it's almost like this voice in the back of your head. It's, this is going to happen if you do this or don't do. And 90% of the time we don't listen to it and we just do it. And then we're like, oh man, I should have listened to my gut. And that's where the idea came from, where it was like, what if your intuition was so heightened? It is like a magical ability that forces you to listen to it. And then it expanded from there with intuition would almost be like foresight, a little bit of psychic ability where you would be able to see things that may have not happened that will be happening because of that intuition. And so that's how I expanded it. But I thought it was interesting because I do think that's something we all have, is that level of instinct that probably biologically could be traced back to the beginnings, where either you learn to do things because this instinct told you to do something. And we all, including myself, need to listen to it more often.
Yeah, I have to tell you, my intuition is the one thing that's guided me through. And so I felt like I could see myself through it, because I was like, oh, you don't know how many times I said, oh, I think this is the job for me, and then it will happen, or this is the wrong person to deal with. My gut feeling will tell me, like, it's in my stomach, and be like, okay, no, this is warning signs, red flags, do not do this, do not engage. And when I choose not to, like, I've learned enough now in my 40s to trust it. That's, I choose not to. It's, oh, yes, it's true. But for the most part, it guides you to where you need to go. It's the wise mind. It's like the one that wants you, lovingly texts you, guides you to where you want to go next, or what adventures you're going to take.
Yeah. And I think with Liz's situation, sometimes it keeps her out of trouble.
Yeah.
And sometimes it leads her straight to it.
Yeah.
And another thing that kind of helped me shape this intuition, like hers, if it was like to the level of a magical ability, what is this saying? And I don't want to be like offensive to anybody, because it is, I think, a very religious saying, but it was like one of those sayings that I think it's actually comes, and maybe I'm wrong that it doesn't come from religion, but I've heard it used in that context, is everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And there's sometimes where I'm like, explain that to me. Like, explain to me what the great plan was with that. Like, it's just, that's where it came from. And then from there, of course, my mind goes into a dark place. It was like, yeah, sometimes bad things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
And it happened to you. And and that's where I started to shape it, because I was like, why would her intuition lead her into a dangerous situation? Because she had to see it. And and that's where the idea of everything happens for a reason. Again, it's one of those sayings that I feel like there's a time and place to say that to people. 99% of the time, it is not the time or place to say that to someone. But yeah, that kind of fed into it a little bit of, how do I explain this? Especially when you're dealing with intuition and foresight, then there almost is a bit of predestiny, in the sense of things are already planned out. And so that's how I was countering that a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, for our listeners who are looking to pick it up, I think it's a great starter series. Like, it's a good starter if you're new to Jaylen's world, Jennifer's world.
Jaylen's fine.
Basically, this is a good starter to do. Like, it's not as complicated as other worlds can be.
I always say I write fantasy. This is for myself, fantasy for dummies. And that's for me, because I couldn't, like, yes, as my fantasy series tend to progress, they do tend to get way more complicated.
Yeah.
But I write high fantasy, but then there's like high fantasy.
Yeah.
where I can't do that. It's a joke around like Game of Thrones, where like when you would watch the TV show, at least the book is a little bit different. But if you turned away from the screen for 5 seconds, you turn back, everybody's dead.
Yeah.
You're in a place you never were before.
Yeah.
You don't understand anybody, what's happening. I don't know if I would love to be able to do that. I just don't, I think I have that talent to do that.
I do appreciate your talent. So what talent you're doing, it's a fantasy that I like. So speaking of books too, where do readers get started from you? Like, where different points of places where you're like dedicated, like, you feel like this, try this, feel like that, try that.
I think it just really depends on what the reader is into. If you're into fantasy, if you like that, and you read The Fall of Rune and Wrath, you could then read either the Flesh and Fire series. You could technically start with that, or you could go and read the Blood and Ash series, which is a lot more involved, a lot more books. And so if you like fantasy, that's what I would suggest. If you like contemporary, I do have the Wait for You series, which, you know, focuses in the beginning on people in college and then in the years afterwards. in most of my contemporaries, they always, like, there often is a bit of a subplot that isn't, because I write romance, obviously, and all my books are romances. But even my contemporaries, I tend to work a subplot in there because it's, I need some, even myself writing this, I need something else happening other than y'all's romantic problems over here. So if you like suspense, I do have Till Death and the DeVincent brothers are like a bit suspense mystery. If you read, if you like young adult, I have a lot of young adult paranormal. The Dark Elements would be a good one. The Lux series, the Covenant series. So really, it depends on what you're in the mood for. Yeah. I think you could find something in there.
Yep, that sounds good. So speaking of other books, do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Yes, I have been lucky to read a couple books or be in the process of reading a couple books that haven't come out yet. And then there's one I do believe is out. But one of the books that I've just finished reading that I was really engrossed in, it is, I think it comes out in November. It's The Consort of Fire by Kit Rocha. It is definitely fantasy. A lot of, they write romance. They do write very spicy books. If you, so be prepared. This is, these are very spicy, but it's always extremely well done. I always like their different takes on the different types of relationships you can come across. I think that is one of the things they do the best, which is they represent the different types of relationships people can be involved in very well. The Consort of Fire, it has, gives you a very good Greek myth vibe of Hades a little bit. So I love that book. I also have started reading The Hurricane Wars, which I think comes out in October.
I think so.
Yeah. And that is, and I'm going to pronounce the name wrong. I'm terrible. I think it's either
Thea. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cause I'm like, I feel like it's something I, did you talk? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I believe it's Gonzen.
Gonzen.
That's not, okay. Yeah, I am terrible at pronouncing names and words in general. You would not think I was an author. But this, oh my God, every so often, okay, a lot for me, it feels like, you read a book and you're like, shit, I suck. Like, you know what I mean? Right? You're like, because look, this is how I feel. There are authors who are good storytellers. There are authors who are good writers. And then there's the unicorns, right? Yeah. Who are good storytellers and good writers. And I'm a good storyteller. You know, and when I say I'm not a bad writer, but I'm not a great writer. I'm not like one of those people where you just look at the sentence structure and you're like, what were you, how did you even do that? And a couple pages into that book is immediately, I was like, I hate myself, but I'm loving this. But now that would be, if I had given a blurb, that would be my blurb. I hate myself now. But it has, you know, a rich world building, a really great romance and magic, which I feel like we just don't, I don't know. There's a lot of books out there of magic, but I feel like it's, oh, every magic book feels so different because there's so much you can do with that. So I've been loving that. Did you talk to?
I talked to her and we talked to, like, she's in the Philippines. And so we talked about hurricanes. Like, who would have thought of, like, making a hurricane as your power? It's like,
I know, but that is, and it reminds me of, I was reading it, and because of being a writer and just being somebody who just knows a bunch of nonsensical stuff that doesn't help you. Yeah. But it was like almost like an elemental influence, yeah. With, and then you do see the basics of magic, because magic had a lot to do with the elements, with nature and that kind of stuff. It's an amazing book, so I really have been enjoying that. And I think it is October, right? It comes out,
I think it's October. It's coming out soon, so it'll be in the show notes, and I'll link the other interview so you get to hear Thea's perspective. Yeah. But
yeah, and that book cover is amazing. Is. And the map inside of it is gorgeous. It's like one of those books where it's, yes, take off also the dust jacket. Thank you. Make sure you look at this book. Yeah. Don't put it back on the shelf. Check it out. Right. But it's
check gorgeous. It out. Yeah. And it's a debut. So that's like what's surprising is a debut. I'm like.
Yeah. And again, it's like. Again, I do feel, and if you're a good writer or just a good storyteller, you're no less than. It's just that I call them the unicorns, where they are a good writer and a good storyteller. And honestly, a lot of people who are good writers sometimes aren't naturally that. They have to sit and make that happen. But the way I'm always like, I can tell when you have a good writer is when every word, every sentence conveys something. Mm-hmm. And that is extremely difficult to do. And even if I even managed to pull that off sometimes, it was hard, very hard. And then there's the people who it comes to very naturally. And I do think she has a very long career ahead of her.
Yeah.
It's a great book.
Yeah. Oh, both are great recommendations. I am very excited to read the Kid Rocha's book. So I'm bumping that up for sure. Jennifer, tell us where you can find you online.
I am usually on Instagram. I have an oldie person. I have a Facebook group. But that's really all I am consistently at online. But if you like to interact with me, usually you can find me in my Facebook group, Jaylanders.
Thank you, Jennifer, for being
here. Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.